What's up, everyone? My name is Researcher Jove, and first off, I would like to say that I was finally able to get a mic to hopefully be able to record these episodes a bit more clearly, so let me know what you guys think. Today, we are going to be looking at a unique object known as the architect that, when placed inside of any enclosed area, will start to expand and create new rooms and structures on the inside. With that being said, let's take a look at item number SCP-184, the architect. Object class, Euclid. Special containment procedures. SCP-184 is not to be contained within any structure. SCP-184 is to be attached to a high-powered electromagnet at all times. Should the electromagnet fail, agents are to report to SCP-184's containment area and prevent access to all unauthorized personnel until the electromagnet can be restored to power. The containment area for SCP-184 is currently configured to resemble a park, with SCP-184 and its containment magnet being disguised as statuary. Any and all visitors are to be monitored. Any structures affected by 184 are to be demolished after review by expunged. Final demolition approval or inclusion into SCP-184 will also be determined by this body. No investigation is to be done into affected structures without approval and a rescue team on standby. Description. SCP-184 is a small, smooth metallic object, 10 centimeters tall and 10 centimeters wide, with the shape of a dodecahedron. Each face of the figure has a circular hole in the center, and a small sphere is attached to each of the vertex. SCP-184 is made of an unknown but highly magnetic alloy, about as hard as brass. When inside of an enclosed structure, SCP-184 expands the structure's inner dimensions without altering the outer dimensions. SCP-184 will increase the inner dimensions of any enclosed structure by several hundred meters each day, beginning 1 hour after entry into the structure. Initially, SCP-184 only extends the walls out, causing rooms to become much larger without adjusting the height of the room. This expansion will continue until the original dimensions of the room have been tripled. At this point, SCP-184 starts creating wholly new rooms. SCP-184 is apparently able to copy items from inside structures, creating furnished rooms consistent with the rest of the structure. After a period of time, however, the expansion process appears to break down. For example, items will be made from inappropriate materials, such as glass books, a wooden microwave. Rooms will be oddly shaped, with doors opening into blank walls, and hallways will be tiny or twist back around into long mazes. The new inside structures continue to be more and more odd while the outside remains unchanged. This behavior is mostly dramatically illustrated in homes, however. It has been observed in other instances, including cardboard boxes, though. The changes do not go away with the removal of SCP-184, but no additional structures are created once the object is removed. Addendum 184-1. Notes from Dr. Blank. I don't think I need to stress the fact that this thing can never be allowed into Site-19. We may need to look into different containment at some point, but for the time being, we will keep it in the open, immovable, and hidden. Addendum 184-2. Locations of interest. It is currently hypothesized that SCP-184, or an anomaly with similar effects, may have been responsible for creating locations such as the Backdoor Shoho and the Chungguko Cellar. Investigations into SCP-184 as a potential origin of these spaces is ongoing. Addendum 184-38RB, Notes on Recovery. SCP-184 was recovered in the Kowloon Walled City in June of blank. Reports of the city's bizarre and explosive growth attracted operatives who soon learned that SCP-184, held in the possessions of Blink, was being used to modify the city. After several police crackdowns, Mobile Task Force Zeta-9 was dispatched to recover SCP-184 with minimal of losses. The final effect of exposure to SCP-184 on both the city and the inhabitants may never fully be understood due to the recklessness of the actions taken by local law enforcement, which destroyed several affected sections of the city before operatives could take action to prevent it. Interviews with residents yielded minimal information, with a communal wall of silence being the majority of responses. A few documents indicated that SCP-184 could be brought into a home and allowed to affect the dwelling for £15 per half hour. These documents were unconfirmed by residents. Addendum 184-38RB-S. Additional documentation. Personal log of Gordon Richards, a member of Mobile Task Force Zeta-9, aka the Mole Rat. And this begins the personal logs of Gordon Richards. Begin log. Date, June 3rd. Dispatched into the Kowloon Walled City to recover an object and document anything that is affected by it. I've never seen such a horrible place. The filth is everywhere, whole walls and even structures made of garbage. If you crack your suit even for a second, you get flooded by the smell of smoke, cooking, sweat, machine oil, and excrement. Henry fell into a pit used as a sewer on the ground level after breaking through a trash walkway. He was fine, but the suit was filthy, and he ended up throwing up inside of it and had to be removed. I'm not sure if he's going to work out. Everyone here is avoiding us like the plague, or darts out to throw trash or insults as we pass by. They're a tribe, and a territorial one at that. The sheer crush of humanity is intimidating, and I'm glad I have the suit between me and them. The object is supposed to be somewhere in the core of this mass, but getting there is going to be a bit tricky. Date, June 4th. Local law enforcement led by agents did a bunch of raids last night. Cleared people out of some of the areas we needed to go in, but there are so many people here, it's just hard to notice any difference, really. Yesterday's Recon helped uncover a couple of homes affected by this thing. They don't look like much, the same squalid homes as everyone else's, but they're too big on the inside. It's an odd feeling standing with your hand on a wall, knowing that by all rights you should be 6 feet outside of the structure in midair. Henry is better today, but seems really jumpy. Levi took him inside and talked to him all last night, which I hoped has helped. I'm getting worried about him. I caught him muttering to himself over the radio today. Told him to knock it off, but I didn't report it, though maybe I should have. I think I'm gonna ask for him to be put into a different unit after all this. Deep Recon this evening. We're splitting up and trying to hunt down where they might be storing this thing. Levi and I pulled the short sticks and have to hike it all around the sewers today. Honestly, it can't be any worse than the top side. At least I won't have to keep seeing the blank, empty faces of all the people. Date, June 6th. Henry's dead. We didn't get back until early this morning. We'd been cut off for the radio of several hours now. It seems the area affected by this thing screwed with the radio waves pretty badly. The sewer was a nightmare, but no sign of the alteration by the item. When we came back up, Paul gave me the news. Henry and Paul were exploring near the center of the city when they got attacked. A mob of people swarmed them and dragged Henry off. Paul was hurt and his suit was badly damaged, and he had to leave for medical attention. Henry was screaming over the radio for a while, and then it cut off. Paul and a couple of the other mole rats charged in with some agents to recover Henry, but after a few minutes, Henry came back on the radio. His receiver was broken, but he could still broadcast. One of the agents was recording, and he played it back to Levi and I to see if any of it made sense to us. It didn't. He was rambling, and it sounded like he was hurt. Kept talking about the endless heart of the city, the hell of glass, just crazy stuff. Paul and the rescue team kept trying to find him, but suddenly his radio cut out again. Henry came tearing down one of those tiny halls, helmet off and screaming like a madman. He ran right by Paul and smashed an agent into a wall on his way by. He slammed into a dead end and just exploded through it, right through the building. He fell 6 stories into some metal junk. Took about an hour to get his body all entangled. We're done screwing around here. Agent Parks, Levi, and me are rounding up what amounts of the city elders, and we're going to get to the bottom of this thing. Date, June 7th. Interrogations went well. Agent Parker asked the questions. We provided what he called negative consequences for non-cooperation. The first guy, some triad punk, didn't want to talk. 2 broken legs later, and he was a lot more open. Said the thing was called the Builder, and nobody knew when it first came into the city. He never had anything to do with it, just helped stand guard outside of rooms where it was working. He said that it was all he knew, and that they would have to talk to one of the elders, Long Wynn, if we wanted it. He apologized for Henry's death, said it was just the way of things. I broke his jaw in 3 places. Long Wynn may have been the oldest looking man I've ever seen, and with a will like iron. He just took everything that we dished out and never said a word. Parks said that the next step was to take his wife and grandkids, and that did get him talking. He told us that it was kept in one of the oldest parts of the city, some old temple. It had grown and made wonderful things, but only the worthy could look upon it without being overwhelmed by it. He said Henry was shown the wonders in what he had hoped would be able to convince us to not take the Builder, but he was just not worthy and was broken because of it. We made him show us where they kept it. Long Wynn said that it wouldn't do any good, that it was buried too deep. They moved it deep inside when they first caught wind of the agents coming into the city. He said that we'd never get it back. We're doing deep work tomorrow, and we're not coming out unless we have it. Date, June 10th. Been out for a while. This place is amazing. At first, it was just a temple that was too big on the inside. Neat, but nothing new. Then, when we went deeper, whole rooms, altars, everything recreated and rearranged by this thing. It's like someone built 12 whole temples inside of this one tiny structure. Agent Parks set up a recall point in the main hall with some other agents to make sure that no one sneaks up on us. We suited up and went to work. It started getting odd after 6 hours of exploration, though. Lots of hallways, but not as many rooms. Then 83 rooms all connected by those sliding doors, each with a tiny Buddha in the center of the floor, and nothing else. Levi grabbed a few samples, and we knew things were going to get odd when we came to a perfect reproduction of the first altar room, but it all appeared to be made out of one solid mass of wood. It was very beautiful and totally seamless, as there wasn't a single tool mark or anything. Paul found some documents, and we scanned them back to the Parks. He said they were about the object. Apparently, they're calling it SCP-184 now. Parks said that it talks about how they moved 184 deeper each time to make a new area. they thought it was some gift from God or something, used to expand rooms if people would donate to them or the temple, or at least to the gangs that controlled them at the time. I've never been in a place like this. It's getting harder to maneuver. The halls are starting to get strange. They go up at funny angles, and the last few rooms have been really tiny. By Levi's count, we should be 20 feet above the roof of the whole city by now. Date, June 12th, maybe. I'm getting sick of this place. Come to a branch yesterday and had to split the team. I drew the up hallway and sat down. Not sure how long I've been climbing. The halls aren't regular anymore. They're waving in and out like a frozen earthquake. Everything seems to be made of stone here. Managed to squeeze into a side room and catch my breath, but once I looked around, I saw that everything was made of jade. It was all colored right and had the right texture, but it was jade. Bed, chairs, tables, books, everything. Everything looked how it should be, but it was all made of jade for some reason. I sat on the bed for 2 hours and didn't think. When I got up to smash the jade lamp, that I knew was probably worth more than my life, I felt better and left. I'm not feeling well. I feel really disconnected here, like an astronaut or something. It's not like the other areas that I've been in. I've never felt so alone. I'm fine, I know that. It's Henry's diary, the whole rotten city outside, and me being alone, just being able to think too much. The rats are tested for mental stability, and we all pass with flying colors. It's just my nerves. I'm sitting on a chair made of 1,000 tiny dragon statues, writing on a table made of super dense paper, and I am fine. Date, June. I've been out too long. Food low, water low, not out yet, but getting there. Hearing things. Keep hearing voices. Been climbing for days now. Saw a light today. At the end of the side hall, bright yellow light. I climbed into the hall and ran. Smashed through a door, and it opened into a room. Millions of candles, all lit, but just another room. Pulled off my helmet and smashed all the candles that I could. I broke my lenses, neck seal, and radio, but I didn't care. I sat and cried for hours. Dropped a pick down a shaft today, but never heard it hit the bottom. Almost jumped in to go get it, but stopped. I have to find this thing first. I have to smash it, stomp it, crush it. Date, June. Food out. Suit can't make any more water. I saw a hall with 10,000 doors. Ran down it, smashed a bunch, and then kept climbing. I lost my boots. A floor that looked like carpet was not carpet, but made of super sharp stone. It cut my suits to a ribbon, and my feet too. Blood all over the shaft. Hope it appreciates it. Going to crush this thing. I need to feel it shatter in my hand. I hate this place. Keep hearing Henry. I keep telling him he's dead, but he won't listen. Date. Top of the shaft. Hall to forever. Lights everywhere. Going to kill the heart. Date. Heaven is hell. Hell is heaven. Life is wonderful. And this ends the journal logs. Notes. Gordon Richards went missing during the recovery of SCP-184, presumed KIA. SCP-184 was recovered by Team Zeta-9. Journal recovered in the rubble was left from the destruction of SCP-184 affected temple, which was the logs we just read. And this ends the entire document. I think that this one is pretty interesting as it There's a lot connected to this specific SCP, the architect, and it's cool that they mentioned a place known as the Kowloon Dwell City, as I just recently watched a video about the Kowloon test experiments they used to do on rats. They were trying to see how overpopulation, they were trying to see if we only had a limited area of space to live and you introduced so many number of rats, would that population overpopulate too much, or would it, how would it figure it out? And what happened was that the rats would, in some tests, the rats would not overpopulate, they would level out to a certain number, like 100 rats per whatever, and they would just kind of regulate their birth rates in that way. But in some other tests, they would all pile on each other, and become really, really packed in a super dense living area, which is cool that it's like reference to that. The Kowloon Wild City is reference to that. And it's also cool that the item, the architect, can expand rooms indefinitely. It would be pretty interesting to see, like, if you put it in a small cardboard box, and then, like, a day later, that would be a whole, like, building inside this tiny little box. But anyway, I hope you all enjoyed, and I hope that I'll see you in the next episode.